And so we'll start with a partial idea, and then we're going to get into our textual analysis. And I know that sounds very exciting, textual analysis, but I suspect that it'll have a lot of fruits for us to bear. But our partial idea is something that I'm very partial to, because it was the first drasha that I gave. You know, in the world of Torah teaching, there are a lot of different levels. You know, there's the Shabbos table Dvar Torah, or maybe the Passover Seder Dvar Torah. You know, there's, you know, maybe the article, the Dvar Torah that you write up and it gets printed out or sent out via email. You know, there are shiurim like this. But I think it's safe to say that one of the most pressured, and maybe in some ways the most exalted kind of opportunity and form in which someone can share Torah is that of the Shabbat morning sermon, the Shabbat morning drasha. You know, standing at the podium with, you know, 200 people standing there watching. That I have a very distinct recollection of the first summer I was married. The rabbi of my parents' shul was going away and asked if I would fill in. I had not yet started rabbinical school. I was on the eve, and I put together a drasha. I think my mom really is the one who kind of put it together, but I'm the one who got up in front of people and had to say it. She didn't have to, and so I think I get credit for it. And I was looking at the Chavetz Chaim, whom we're familiar with, who was one of the greatest sages of the previous generation. He has a very similar idea in his parsha book. So even though I think that this idea originated with my mom, it feels very close to me, and it's something that was corroborated by the Chavetz Chaim. And we're not going to get to the whole, you know, 14-minute or so drasha with stories about my first bike, but we will just hit the main point. And the main point is a question that should bother anyone who thinks about this week's parsha, because Parsha Balak focuses on the prophet, not of the Jewish people, but the prophet of the nations. And the Jewish people had Moses, who we've learned about, Moses, who was this exalted, lofty figure, whom last month we learned about, you know, his slight misstep, but Moses, who was this larger-than-life individual. And then we contrast it with the prophet of the nations. And the prophet of the nations is someone named Bilam, and our sages call him not just Bilam, but Bilam HaRasha, Bilam the Wicked. Bilam, we know to be not just a womanizer, but he was... He and his donkey were probably closer than they should have been. He was power hungry. He was hungry for money. He was an egomaniac. Bilam was, in so many ways, the exact opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu, who embodied humility, who embodied selflessness, who embodied abstention from this world. And if I'm one of the members of the nations, if I'm not Jewish, and I look at this and say, well, the Jews got Moses and we got Bilam? That's not fair. I want a do-over. It's Amazon Prime Day. Happy holidays, everyone. I have to be able to return everything, but it doesn't say free returns. I'm not buying it. And so I want to return my prophet. I want to return Bilam. Why should we get stuck with this awful, abysmal prophet instead of someone as lofty and as holy as Moses? And the answer that I'd like to offer this evening, which I actually think will be a helpful frame for the journey we're about to go on, is what the Chavetz Chaim points out, that our parsha is named Balak. Balak is the king of Moab, who hires Bilam to curse the Jewish people. And it begs the question, Balak is concerned that the Jewish people are going to conquer Moab. They're going to conquer his land. And so he said, hire someone to curse the Jewish people so that they should not be successful. But instead of cursing them, he had another option. It's a beautiful story with the Rabbi Shaul Salanter that's found in the beginning of Rabbi Norman Lamb's Haggadah. Rabbi Salanter is walking and he sees two young boys fighting, and you know, they're pushing each other. I'm taller. No, I'm taller. No, I'm taller. You know, as little boys like tend to do. And at one point, one of them gets a good idea. He pushes the other one to the ground, and now he stands up tall, barrel chest, and says, "See, now I'm taller." And Rabbi Salanter taps him on the shoulder and says, "You know, son, if you stood on a chair, you'd still be taller, but you wouldn't have to push him down. Instead of making him small, you should have made yourself big." And that really is the core mistake that Balak makes in our parsha. Instead of going to Bilam and asking for a blessing, asking for, you know, a prophet, someone who maybe is on God's good side, if you will, to implore the divine on the behalf of Moab, he says, "I'd rather curse the Jewish people." And maybe that approach that Balak takes, that I'm not going to work on myself, I'm not going to focus internally, I'm only going to focus externally, maybe that's really why Bilam ends up being the person he is. He's a product of his environment. And the environment that Bilam lives in is an environment of ego, an environment of I'm going to push someone else down rather than putting in the hard work. It's an environment where it's all about me focusing on me and not focusing on how I can be better, not focusing on how I can improve, not focusing on how I can grow, in stark contrast to Moses in so many examples that we could give at another time. And that I think a big message of our parsha is to not look externally, but to look internally and see how can I be better if I have an obstacle that I want to overcome. So with that frame, I'm going to ask us to take a look at our sources.